Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Crossroads, where faith and culture meet. I'm Rita Peters, your host, and I will be hosting solo this week since my co-host Mark Meckler is busy traveling the nation. Yesterday, he was testifying at a committee hearing in South Carolina, and as of this moment, I'm not really sure whether he's headed home to Texas or over to Charleston, West Virginia. So where in the world is Mark Meckler? It's anybody's guess. But don't worry, I've got a great program for you today, because here with me in the studio is Ron Hoke. Ron serves as the head of school for Redeemer Classical School, a pre-K through 10th grade school in Keezeltown. So, Ron, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, before we go much further, I want to tell our listeners a little bit about your background. And for the sake of full disclosure, I will share first and foremost that I do serve on the board of Redeemer Classical School, and all of my children have attended and some still attend Redeemer. So yes, I am biased. And I actually was on the search committee that brought Ron to the Valley, so you can all thank me later. But let's go ahead and talk to Ron. So Ron came to us from the Philadelphia area, where he served at Delaware County Christian School for 11 years as a teacher, coach, and administrator. Ron has a Bachelor of Arts degree in Bible with a concentration in education from Cairn University. He then went on to earn a master's in religion from Reformed Theological Seminary, as well as a master's in school leadership from the University of Pennsylvania. Ron and his wife, Julie, have four delightful children, and I hear that the family likes it here pretty well so far. Is that right?
That's completely true. We love it here.
Good, because we want you to stay for a long time. And Ron, what else should we know about you? Maybe share a couple of your interests or hobbies.
Sure. Hobbies would include hiking, playing golf, playing guitar, and recording music. I have a little home recording studio, and it's been one of the things that I've gotten back into during the pandemic is just writing and recording music again.
I have heard rumors that you used to have a band, maybe in college.
I had two bands in high school and college, in punk rock and heavy metal. So when you see me walking around town in my bow tie,
yes,
it doesn't always translate to some of my past experiences.
Our listeners will have to take my word for it that you do not appear to be the punk rock or heavy metal type.
I don't appear that way if you see me walking around town. Yes, it's true.
That's right. Okay, so let's just dive in here, Ron. What is classical education?
This is a really challenging question.
Yep, I like to start it off right.
Starting with an easy one. I think it's challenging because it's such an involved answer. There's many different directions that we could go in answering what Christian classical education is. And so it's always a challenge to know where to start. One way I like to think of it, though, is that it's a renewal movement. It's a movement within education to recapture some of the beliefs about education that were really developed in the classical world, in antiquity, and that did filter down into education through the ages, that were largely pushed aside in really kind of maybe starting in the late 1800s, early 1900s with some movements towards progressive education. So it's recapturing some of those beliefs about education. And I think the big thing is, namely, the belief that education is more than just about developing our intellects. It's more than just career preparation or job preparation, but that education is really about nurturing the body, the soul, and the mind of students. We are more than just our minds. We are more than just our bodies to be used for economic purposes in a career somewhere, a cog in a machine, but we have souls as well, and it's nurturing all three, body, soul, and mind together.
That's great. So would you say that's really how classical education departs from the more progressive public education path, is that it views education as more than just a means to an end?
Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest divergences, most certainly. There are others that you can get to on a much more minute ground level as far as differences in teaching methodology, you know, how we assess students, things of that nature. But at a higher level, I would say what it comes down to is in classical education, we believe that the goal of education, the goal of learning, is intellectual, economic, spiritual, and moral. Whereas many in the progressive education movement, at least in action, maybe not in word, but in action, would say it's primarily economic. It's about getting a, you know, getting good grades to go to a good college to get a good job, right? Yep. It's all in these kind of economic terms. Maybe they would impart intellectual. Maybe there's some speak of moral aspects. Most certainly not an aspect of spiritual, though. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to press all four, that the intellectual, the economic, the moral, and the spiritual.
And Redeemer Classical School, I think, is the only Christian classical education program in the Harrisonburg-Rockingham County area right now. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. Now, a lot of people who have heard mentions of classical education have heard of this idea called the trivium. Can you tell us what that is?
Yes, absolutely. So in the classical world, there were seven liberal arts, and the term there, liberal, liber in Latin, meaning to be free. And so these were the seven topics, the courses of study that people had to engage in order to be a fully free citizen, someone who could think for themselves, act on their own, not be swayed by deceit or error. And so those seven liberal arts were grammar, logic, and rhetoric. Mathematics, so arithmetic, geometry, astronomy, and music, or the four mathematic arts. So we divide the seven liberal arts into the three language arts and the four mathematical arts. And the three language arts, grammar, logic, and rhetoric, were called the trivium, the three ways, the three paths. And so in the renewal movement of classical education, we use the trivium of grammar, logic, and rhetoric as a way of forming and thinking about education and its purpose and the way that it's structured. And so, for example, at Redeemer, our lower grades are called the grammar school, our middle grades are called the logic school, and our upper grades are called the rhetoric school. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have grammar in the upper grades or we don't have logic in the lower grades, right? But the idea is that we're walking students through a very intentional process of learning that's moving from the basics, grammar, to more thoughtful, more engaging questions, logic, and ultimately to a point where they're able to speak articulately and form their own thoughts.
Mm-hmm. And those three stages, grammar, logic, and rhetoric, also correspond to the developmental stages that human beings go through at these ages, right?
Yes, that's right. And this is one of the beautiful things about classical education in my mind, and the use of the trivium in particular. Not only is this a way of thinking about learning itself, but it also follows naturally the way that human beings develop. In our younger years, we are sponges. It's very easy for us to absorb massive amounts of information, to internalize that. And so that's grammar. That's where we're giving the basics. We're filling students' minds with all sorts of information. But then as we get older, we start to ask more questions. And anyone who has a preteen or an early teenager knows that's where they like to argue,
yes.
Right? And there's and so what's happening there is as we get older, we're starting to try and make sense of all the information that's in our minds. We're trying to take all that material that's there and figure out how it fits together and how it fits within the world and how we fit within the world. And so it's a process of questioning that is very closely related to logical reasoning. And so that's where the logic phase comes in. And then eventually, as we get older, we want to be able to share what we think with other people. And we want to start to convince other people that what we think is right and makes sense and why it makes sense. And that's where rhetoric comes. That rhetoric phase is that ability to then take the material that we've learned in grammar, make sense of it in logic, and then articulate it, you know, as our own in the rhetoric phase.
Yeah. Now, it strikes me as I'm listening to you describe this that this classical education involves some skills that I think are desperately lacking and needed in our culture and society today. You know, namely logic and, you know, the ability to be winsome and persuade people rather than just denigrating other people. Would you agree with that? And is that part of the vision for the school?
I agree wholeheartedly, and that is absolutely a part of the vision of the school. And it's one of the things, there are many, but it's one of the things that we're doing at Redeemer that excites me the most. Mm-hmm. Being able to think clearly, being able to spot errors or misconceptions in our own thinking, but also in the thinking of our friends and family and neighbors who we're engaging with, is crucial. And we've seen the importance of that over the last few years, maybe more intensely than we have ever before. But then also being able to interact with people that we disagree with in a way that is respectful, that is ultimately seeking to bring truth mm-hmm. out rather than just confuse and to win an argument, mm-hmm. but to really see truth brought to light, to help both sides better understand their own positions and why they believe what they believe, and to do so in a way that is passionate and yet at the same time winsome and respectful is so crucial. I think that is something that is largely lost in our public square today. Yeah. And so when we think about what we're trying to instill in our students at the logic and the rhetoric levels in particular, that's what I think about, is we want students who can think clearly for themselves, who can spot errors in argumentation, but who are ultimately engaging others out of love and respect and a desire to see truth come to light.
Yeah. And I can tell you that is really a big part of the reason I personally am so passionate about what is happening at Redeemer Classical School, because I see that happening. And my work experience has me engaged with the culture in ways where I am just constantly aware of the lack of those skills and abilities in the broader culture. It's something that we desperately need to train our kids and our students in. Now, I have no background in teaching or education, right? But one of the things I love the most about classical education, in addition to what I just said, is how all the subjects are really integrated together.
Yes.
So, for instance, students are studying the literature from the time period they are studying in history. And it's always seemed to me like this approach lends itself to really a more holistic mm-hmm. education than having complete separation between different subjects, which is the way it was when I went to school. And it also seems like that would make the material easier to remember. Is
yes.
that accurate? Like, are there actually real educational values to learning that way?
Absolutely. So it is easier to remember, as you said, because what students get to do is really focus in on a particular era of study, a particular historical era, whether that's ancient or, the Roman era or the medieval era or modern era, right? But they're able to focus in on that particular time period in history and understand it from multiple angles and perspectives, too. So, for example, in the rhetoric school, we are in ninth grade looking at the ancient world. And so they're studying ancient history, but then they're also reading in literature texts that are from the ancient world, and they're seeking to understand that time period in its political background, in its historical context, in the context of religious developments that are happening at that point. As well as scientific, what's happening in the realm of human discovery, in the realm of human understanding of natural phenomenon. And so I think not only does it become easier to remember because you're spending an entire course of study, entire year in a single era, but it's helping you to understand that era much, much more deeply and from a more multifaceted perspective mm-hmm. as well. So you see it in its depth and its richness.
Yeah. So it's not just learning about history as far as dates, what happened on which
right.
dates. It's almost giving the student a feel for what the human experience was
yes.
at that time in history. I think that's so neat. What Ron, are some misconceptions that you think people might have about classical education?
Well, there are some that are fairly simple misconceptions, right, that perhaps I've heard it said that, classical education, that means you teach Latin, right? Well, we do teach Latin, but that is not what makes an education a classical
okay.
education, right? So that's maybe one kind of simple misconception. Getting to more substantive misunderstandings, I do think that classical education tends to be perceived as elitist. And part of that is perhaps because we're studying Latin and Greek, and there's kind of this, you know, makes people think of the Ivy League schools
right.
or something like that. And so there's this perception that it's only for a select few. There's a perception that it's only for the most intelligent students.
Right.
Right. So a form of elitism there. And I think related to that is also a misconception that it's monocultural as well, and
mm-hmm.
That it does not have a sense of diversity of viewpoints or diversity of cultural impact in it as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems kind of ironic because I think you're right. I think until people really get to know the school, they think, oh, this is like an elite college prep school
for the
brightest kids out there. But ironically, you just told us a few minutes ago that it's really the classical model, and at Redeemer in particular, it's not just about getting kids ready to go to college, have a career,
right.
and jump through the next hoops. It's really about something entirely different. Do you think that's ironic then? That
I find it very ironic.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, at the base, what we're trying to do is instill wisdom and virtue.
Yes.
And so wisdom being, you know, knowing what is right to do in a given situation, having the courage and the wherewithal to do it. Virtue is having a rightly ordered loves, loving things in right proportion, in right order, loving the things that are lovely, not loving things that are not lovely. Wisdom and virtue is something that we should all want and we should all strive for. And I think it's important for my neighbor across the street to have wisdom and virtue just as much as it is for me and my family to have wisdom and virtue. And so I very much think it's something that everyone in our society needs to be pursuing. And so absolutely, there's an irony there, right? That it's not elitist. It is ultimately, in one sense, something for everyone. It is for all people.
Right. One thing that I am always careful to explain to people when they ask me about my decision to send kids to Redeemer is that decision for me is not just a reaction against public education,
yes.
particularly in this area. There are some great schools and great teachers in this area. My decision to choose Redeemer for my kids is really based on how much I love what's happening there. And I think the classical model is just so wonderful. But I want to bring in the cultural issue a little bit because I think a lot more parents around the country have really woken up over the past year to the whole issue of education. And Virginia was actually one of the flashpoints for that.
That's
when
right.
we saw former Governor McAuliffe make it very clear that he thinks parents have no business in their kids' education.
Right.
So what are your views, maybe personally, and the views of classical education, if there are such, on the parents' role in the process?
Yes. So I completely agree. I'm not anti-public school.
Uh-huh.
I was raised in public schools, and I think that having strong public schools is actually good for society. It's
yes.
good for our country. And so I try very hard not to speak about Redeemer or other educational options, whatever they might be,
mm-hmm.
in terms of being against something,
yeah.
but in terms of what we're for.
Yes.
And I do think that absolutely God has given the primary responsibility for the raising of children, and that includes their education, to the parents. And so what decision a family makes for the education of their child, I think, belongs with that family. And so what I want to see, and the reason that I support school choice, is because it gives parents that ability to choose what is right for their families. And so I very much believe in that. Obviously, I'm biased.
Mm-hmm.
I love Redeemer.
Mm-hmm.
I wish that every student had the opportunity to have a Redeemer education. But I don't necessarily think that Redeemer is right for every student either. And
yeah.
so I want parents to have the choice, though, and to have the ability, the power, and the opportunity to choose what's right for their children.
Well, we've talked a lot about classical education as a whole, and we might yet come back to that, but I want to make sure I give you time to tell us about Redeemer Classical School in particular, because I find that there are still a lot of people in our own community that don't really know much about it. So tell us about the program. How many students are currently enrolled, and what kind of growth are you seeing?
Yeah. So Redeemer Classical School started in 2004, and it started with 15 students that were at that point just in middle school, but quickly moved that the following year to add kindergarten, and then grew the program a grade or two a year up until it was a pre-K to 8th grade school when I started 4 years ago. Last year, we made the move to launch a rhetoric school, which is high school. So we added 9th grade last year. We have 10th grade this year for the first time. Next year, we'll have 11th grade, and so we're working towards that full pre-K to 12th grade program. Right now we have 197 students in pre-K through 10th grade. And 2 years ago we had a 10% enrollment increase. This past year we had a 30% enrollment increase.
Wow.
And we're most certainly seeing really strong interest again this year. We're in the middle of kind of the enrollment season, so I don't know exactly where numbers will pan out yet, but there is a lot of interest for sure.
Yeah, so you're saying it's enrollment season basically now.
It's
so
enrollment season right now.
as luck would have it.
Yes, a little shameless plug there.
Yeah. Okay, and for people who are just joining us, we're talking today with Ron Hoke, who is the head of Redeemer Classical School. And before I forget, because sometimes I do, if people want to learn more about the school, how can they do that?
Best way to do that is to go to our website, which is www.redeemerclassical.org.
Okay, great. Now, let me ask you this question. Is Redeemer only for Christian families?
It is not. That is one of the things that makes us unique in the world of Christian education, is that we do not require our families to sign a statement of faith or to agree with a particular statement of faith. We make it clear that we are a Christian school, and we will teach our subjects, and every class will be conducted in a way that is in keeping with the historical understanding of the Christian faith. But we do not believe that it's just for Christian families. We want, again, as I said a little while ago, what we're doing at Redeemer, I think, is important for everyone to pursue. And so we want to open that up to families of different faiths as well.
Great. Well, you mentioned that the rhetoric school, which is also known as high school, 9th through 12th grade, right now Redeemer has 9th and 10th grades.
Yes.
And that's new. So the 9th grade was new last year. This year we have 9th and 10th. Next year we'll have 9th, 10th, and 11th. And as you know, I have a son in the 10th grade class, which we refer to as the pioneer class.
Yes.
And although it's a very small class, I can say that he just relishes the in-depth discussions and activities that take place because the class is so small. If it were a regular size, big 20-person class, they wouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah.
They have so much more time to really go in-depth with what they're studying. And he has a personal relationship with each one of his teachers, as do each of the other students. You know, they really have the opportunity to be known. And that really is a special thing. Don't you think that just makes education different?
I think it's really important. You hit on a lot of the important aspects there. Being known, you know, having your teachers know you, but being able to know your teachers is crucial.
Yeah.
And I think especially at that particular age, you know, the teenage years where you're trying to figure out a lot of things about who you are and what life is and what it means to grow up and thinking about future and what the future holds for you. It's really important to have great mentors that are able to speak truth into your life. And I think one of the things that makes Redeemer special, we're not unique in this sense, but one of the things that makes us special is that every teacher is a mentor.
Yes.
Because of those small classes.
Yeah.
But most certainly the ability to go in depth, to have the time to go in depth, to have the ability for students to really lead the discussion. Mm-hmm. Their questions can take the class period in a particular direction because of those small class sizes, I think, is huge.
Yes.
And then finally, the ability to tailor education to the needs of the student, right? The teacher really has the ability to respond to those students and their needs in a way that, like you said, if you had a larger class size, you wouldn't be able to.
Yeah. Give us the sort of profile of a Redeemer graduate, someone who has gone all the way through the program. What do you hope to see in a Redeemer graduate at the end?
Yes. So we do have an official portrait of a graduate that outlines what we're looking for, what we're aiming for at the point of 12th grade graduation. I don't have that in front of me, and I don't have it memorized. Although I should.
Paraphrase.
Yes. But the broad brushstrokes are someone who loves the Lord, someone who can both winsomely defend and articulate truth, goodness, and beauty, someone who loves their neighbor, who engages with their neighbor and those who might disagree with them in a way that's respectful and loving and compassionate, and someone who is a lifelong learner, someone who is curious, who has a sense of wonder that stays with them throughout their lives, and they're always wanting to know more, to understand things more clearly. And because of that, they are humble enough to listen and to learn from others.
Wow, that humility is important. I wish I had another half hour to talk to you, but we are quickly running out of time. Before we close, though, I have to ask you, because I know this is important to some parents, what about extracurricular activities? Does Redeemer offer those?
Yes, we do. So we do have some sports. We do have athletics. We have cross country, volleyball, basketball, golf, and then track and field as far as athletics that we're offering. We do have a drama club. We do have dance and ballet that we offer as an extracurricular. And we did just this year start with storytime chess, so for younger students to learn chess through story. We also have piano lessons that happen after school as well. So there's a number of extracurricular opportunities, and we look forward to improving and expanding those as the years go on.
Ron, I'm sorry that we're out of time, but thank you for being with us today.
Yeah, thank you so much. It was my pleasure.
I want to thank our generous sponsors at Blue Ridge Chimney Services, Blessings Christian Bookstore, Sunshine Ministries with Christian Radio, Wishing Well Florists and Travel Services, and our good friends at New Beginnings Church and Garber's Church of the Brethren in Harrisonburg. Thank you all for listening and also for your encouragement and your continued financial support. If you'd like to make a donation to help keep Crossroads on the air, you can do so by check to Crossroads at P.O. Box 881, Harrisonburg 22803. If you'd like to send a personal note to our Crossroads team, you can do so to the same address. That's Crossroads, P.O. Box 881, Harrisonburg 22803. I'm Rita Peters with engineer Robbie Meadows, inviting you to join us again next week for another edition of Crossroads, where faith and culture meet.